Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holden Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
All right, Dustin. Now, normally, you know, we crack it up talk about the weekend and shit. But yes. This docket, I'm just too excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get straight to it. But we do want to let you know
some
good news.
Mm-hmm.
And some news y'all not going to love, but that's okay because we're going to be back in the new year.
Yeah, it's bittersweet.
It's bittersweet. Like chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Fantasia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're already on one. Okay, so y'all listen, this is going to be our last episode, brand new episode of Holden Court for 2022. And it's a very damn good one. I can't wait to get into the bag on this one. Then we got to rest. We got to hydrate. We got to get ourselves together. We're going to have 2 weeks of vacay, and then we'll be back with brand new episodes for 2023.
Yeah.
You know, that will be our third calendar year for Holden Court. We had 2021. An amazing 2022, and then I can't wait to see what 2023 brings us.
Me either.
It's going to be amazing. All right, that's it. Here we go for this amazing docket today, y'all. We're going to combine like three really, really dope topical stories for the culture. Of course, we start with Brittany Griner being released as she should have been.
That's right.
From the get-go. Shout out to BG. We are BG.
That's right.
Miss Sophia coming home.
That's right. Listen, that's right.
And we're going to get into all of that. And how it's connected, Dustin, too, because now she's sent over the stories. Raphael Warnock, of course, the good reverend, reelected to the U.S. Senate for a full 6-year term. Way too close for comfort. We're going to get into the tea of that. And then also a story that probably slipped under the radar for a lot of people because the culture was talking about Prime and where he coaching and all that shit, which is a worthwhile conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But what people missed in that moment, news-wise, Dustin, a lot of people missed the Democrats actually voted to move the start of the presidential primary from Iowa to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fucking important. And they really did it mainly for black electorate reasons. And we got to talk about that. So I want to connect all of that. BG, Raphael Warnock back in the Senate for 6 years, and the movement of this primary for the Democratic presidential and all of that season to a almost 30% populous state, and that is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And what all of that means, actually, Destin, because when you take it all together, the totality of those circumstances, y'all, that I just ran down for you, it actually indicates a very important shift in political currency for black America. And a part of that, and that's, I'm not going to overstate that, and that's not hyperbole, and it's nothing to get overly excited about, but it is something to pay attention to, Dustin Ross. And part of the reason why some folks never win is because when you can never recognize when there is a W on the scoreboard, well, you'll always lose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important in this moment that we recognize where there has been some significant
progress
and really indication to double down on this level of political currency and momentum.
Yes.
I'm a little excited about it.
It sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the hell it is. It sounds good, all right?
We're going to talk about just how good it is in a second. But let's start with Brittany Griner. So I want to start, Dustin. We probably, like the rest of us, you probably opened your phone and you immediately saw on your timeline, Brittany Griner is coming home. Mm-hmm. How did you feel?
Finally, some good news in the news cycle. Literally, finally, some good news. You know, we've been talking about this for months.
Almost
rather.
Almost a year.
Yeah, almost a year. She went into custody in February,
It's been almost 10 months.
Yeah, that's a long, 10 minutes is a long-ass time in
Russian
jail.
That's true.
You know,
Well, and Michael told us about Stranger in Moscow.
Let me find out this to Michael. Let me find out we about to moonwalk through this episode.
This whole episode.
I was happy to see her home. I have so many questions, which I'm sure some of which we will never have the answers to. But I look forward to her sharing whatever parts of her story that she wants
that she
to when it's
tell.
Time.
Yeah, wants to tell.
You see that? I gave her a boosy fade.
That haircut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she going to get that straightened out, though.
She
going to go straight to
I know some barbers in Atlanta.
Cut that
lay her right on out.
Yeah. She's a beautiful woman. And she's
literally.
Got some beautiful hair.
Yeah.
So, you know, that ain't nothing but a thing. That said, I'm not going to lie, Dustin. I was actually very shocked to see the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's not what was due to her specifically and her family and the culture at large. Not because black women, and this is very important, we'll go into this in a second, all of the incredible, powerful black women, Dustin Ross, and black organizations and black men as well who have worked overtime to bring this sister home.
Mm-hmm.
None more important than her wife,
mm-hmm.
Sherelle.
Mm-hmm.
Sherelle is, and this is why, you know, plug for all of us attorneys or attorneys in training, it's a good person to have on your team.
Mm.
You know, it ain't a bad idea to partner up with somebody that know the law.
Yeah, that is a box that you should check off of your potential mm-hmm. partner's list, right?
I think so.
Will you hold it down?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to be, what did Ja Rule say, him and the shot, down ass?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to be
she
one?
Got a down ass one. And a knowledgeable one. You know, I mean, not for nothing. Shout out to Sherelle. Sherelle is a recent graduate of mm-hmm. North Carolina Central School of Law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about like
intelligent.
Yeah. She actually, I cannot believe she did this. I wouldn't have been able to do it, Dustin. She took the bar exam mm-hmm. while her wife mm-hmm. was being held up in a Russian prison.
Yeah, she's ready.
She's ready. She led the fight. She led the charge. She was followed up by organizations like Black Voters Matter, mm-hmm. Win with Black Women. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are, and they need to be named. They deserve their flowers. They worked overtime to make sure Brittany Griner made it home.
I'm so glad you brought that up because mm-hmm. that is something that people need to know about. They need to know
yes.
more about the Black organizations that stood
part.
Behind her, specifically Black Women. Throughout this whole ordeal, I've been really disappointed mm-hmm. by the conversation surrounding her release. And how Black people.
Can you speak on that, please?
Yeah, several Black people have been very negative, very dismissive. Mm-hmm. They've all become, you know, overnight legal
political experts.
Yeah,
y'all a bunch of geopolitical experts.
Overnight
up
pundits.
In this bitch.
You know, I've never seen, you know, half of them can't even define what an arms dealer really is.
That part.
But they have so much vitriol, you know, mm-hmm. surrounding her release and the trade that was made to bring her home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's utterly ridiculous. The same mouths, the same lying ass, thick-tongued mouths.
Slow talking.
Mm-hmm. That were teeth over tongue mouths. Okay.
Can't even get it out.
Thank you.
Right.
That are so persistent with this fake conversation on
outrage.
Their behalf.
Fake
yeah.
outrage. Oh. I love here's my favorite one, Dustin. I mean, this is the worst international trade release I've seen in my life. I just want you to name one other.
Name it.
Just name one
name
other.
Your state rep.
Yeah.
Name your state
your congressman.
Rep. Name your congressman. You name those things. You these people who have no yeah. they've 5 minutes ago it was protect Black women out of these
Ooh.
Same people's mouths.
Ooh.
But they don't recognize Brittany Griner as one because she's a lesbian and a masculine presenting
lesbian.
Correct.
She's a tall, mm-hmm. queer Black woman who could probably wax your ass.
Yep.
And that's why you
on
feeling
the court
away
and off.
That way anywhere you want
and
to
in
be.
The bed
that
while
too.
You playing.
So like seal your girl.
Yeah.
And you feeling away.
So I just it's just really disheartening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We see this homophobia surface often.
And that's
they can call it
in.
What they want, but that's yeah. exactly what it is.
And it's And also, it's the homophobia, first and foremost, and it's a secondary. A lot of people just undercover, Dustin, they just hate Black women.
That's what it is.
We just need to say it out loud. You just hate Black women. You hate that Black women said, not on our watch collectively,
yeah. Yeah.
with or without your support, we're bringing our sister home. I saw some dumbass woman. I thought, is that Keisha Cole's mama? Somebody was.
I hope not. I think, I know her biological mom passed away, but her adopted mom is still living.
What's her
Yvonne
name?
Yvonne Cole?
No, so it's
okay.
not her.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, shout out to Keisha Cole's mama. May she rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to slander anybody, but
some
reality ratchet older lady was like, we got out a damn basketball player, that's what we doing now. I'm gonna find it on social.
How disgusting.
And hopefully we'll put it in notes. Ma'am, basketball player, yes. Olympian, 2 times gold, yes.
Run it.
American patriot, yes.
Run it.
National champion, yes. Collegiate champion,
yes. Who was over there in the first damn place because they don't pay WNBA players
that part
enough money. Let's just call it what
exactly
it is. They don't
that.
Pay them enough money, so she now has to go
she
play.
She has the moonlight.
She has
the moonlight.
Moonlight and yes. risk her life over a damn vape pen cartridge.
Because that's what it was. So, yeah, just to run the facts down, y'all know this. The culture has mostly lived, ate, and breathed this story for almost the 10 months that Brittany has been locked up. She was literally detained and arrested and convicted for 9 years,
mm-hmm.
Dustin Ross. Not
mm-hmm.
9 months, 9 fucking mm-hmm. years to serve in a Russian prison for less than an ounce of hash oil.
It was way less than
it was less than half an ounce.
It was
a minuscule amount.
Like such a small amount.
Yes, of hash oil, which of course, you know, Brittany admitted it. She did end up
mm-hmm.
entering a guilty plea. I think that her and her legal team thought, and it wasn't a bad strategy, Dustin, that maybe if she takes ownership, we apologies to the court, apologies to Russian government. We had no idea it was illegal here. I didn't even remember it was in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually her claim. And that the court would show some level of reasonableness. Maybe an 18-month sentence, a 24. These assholes slapped her with 9 years. And it was not about the law. That was about politics.
Absolutely.
That is about a Russian-Ukrainian Cold War that is going on right now.
Yeah.
That the American government is throwing billions of dollars
to Ukraine
mm-hmm. and Russia is pissed about it.
And they said, so you want to play? Okay. And everything about this was strategic. And you tell me this.
Yep.
We didn't see any movement on this until after the elections that just went down,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. We know the ties that Russia has with the GOP.
That's it.
Okay. Obviously, there is some sort of connection there with the timeline of everything that has
100%.
Happened, because they were obviously in a position with less power than I'm assuming that they assumed they would have after the election, because this deal could have been taking place long ago.
So what you just said, I've actually not heard anybody speak on that correlation. And I think it's brilliant, actually.
Thank you. I'll be thinking about
for real,
shit.
Because
even I'm grieving. And yeah. I still was like,
wait a minute. Now, this ain't adding up.
Sorry, that shit don't.
That's why I was so surprised, right? Because, you know, we cover this on the Holden Court. We cover it on The Grill with Ebony K. Williams. You can catch it on your local. Thank you, baby. Mm. You can catch it on your local cable stations. That appears at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on The Grill. and on that, my sidebar, I talked about a couple things related to the political leverage, mm-hmm. which is what you're speaking to, mm-hmm. Dustin. So let's slow this down and break it down. This had nothing to do at some point about the law. She entered a guilty plea. She was convicted. She was sentenced to 9 years. She entered an appeal. She lost that appeal. Mm-hmm. So at that point, that's the end of the legal road. At that point, it's 9 years a bust. The only thing that was going to bring this patriot home, and that's what she is. She's an American patriot.
Talk about it. They hate it when we say that, too.
I love that. You mm-hmm. know what? I got a whole chapter in this mm. book right here, y'all.
What book is that?
This book is real good, y'all. It's called Bet on Black.
Such a beautiful cover.
The good news mm-hmm. about being black in America, and it is a beautiful cover. You know who shot it? Our photographer, Sophie Holland.
Shout out to Sophie.
Because Sophie be killing it.
Okay.
But this, I have a whole chapter in this book called Entitlement, and it's not about what you would think. It is about the entitlement of black Americans to be patriots in our homeland, if we so choose. If we so choose. Now, if you want to say fuck America because they don't have no act right, that's fair, too.
Mm-hmm. But you can choose that.
You can choose that, too. But if you also choose to say this is my homeland, my ancestors have bled and built this nation, mm-hmm. we are at least Dustin Ross, entitled mm-hmm. to be as Americana mm-hmm. as anybody else on this land.
Mm-hmm.
That is our destiny.
Yep.
Brittany is a patriot.
Yep, and fuck who don't like it.
And so therefore, the leverage, back to the political of it all, had to always be about the politics.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because Russia is Russia and Putin is Putin, I was concerned, Dustin, I ain't gonna lie.
Absolutely.
I was like, I don't know what will bring mm-hmm. Russia and Putin to the table to even negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of leverage we really have.
Mm-hmm.
And remember this, Dustin, they were originally trying, we're gonna talk about Paul Whelan because he should be spoken about. They were trying to do a dual deal
mm-hmm.
where they would try to swap Britney and Paul for a Russian play.
Mm-hmm.
And I said on my sidebar, with respect to Paul Whelan, I don't believe that he should be incarcerated either. I think it's some bullshit, bogus charges. They're holding him on alleged espionage, spying. I did not think it was a good idea to try to do a dual swap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. And Russia clearly felt the same way I felt. They're not similarly positioned.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Paul Whelan should be home with his family.
Mm-hmm.
However, he is being charged with a very serious offense of espionage. He's done several years already in custody. Brittany and him were not similarly positioned factually.
Mm-hmm.
And when you try to combine and really conflate facts that are as far apart as what Brittany's dealing with, less than half an ounce of hash oil, it's so actually ridiculous. Paul with some debatable bullshit, but just the nature of the charges are so distinct from the minute thing that Brittany was charged with.
Yeah.
It was probably going to end with both continuing to be imprisoned. And that's essentially what President Biden said, because many are critiquing that. They're saying, why is Brittany home and Paul's not home? President Biden, very clear, and I want to quote him on this one, Dustin, because it's very important that people understand, including our people. This was not a choice of which American to bring home. Sadly, for totally illegitimate reasons, Russia is treating Paul's case differently than Brittany's. And while we have not yet succeeded in securing Paul's release, we are not giving up. We will never give up. And that's what I essentially say on the sidebar. This is not about undermining Paul Whelan and his family. His family is a real class act because they actually have applauded President Biden. Back to what you said. Why was this deal so quietly made immediately almost following a very successful midterm election for Democrats? What was anticipated to be a red wave, what was anticipated to be, you know, a loss of a slew of congressional and probably Senate seats as well for Republicans, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. That changes the calculus, Dustin, of exactly what type of political leverage Russia and Putin has on the broader American government. I think that's a brilliant and important point. You always have to look at the politics and the sway, because that is the temperature gauge as to how much leverage America has. I think Biden has an extreme amount of leverage right now, which we, as black folk, can use if we play our hands right. So that said, I think it's a nice time to go ahead and move forward to Raphael Warnock. Raphael Warnock is a United States senator. He's been recently reelected to the Senate. And I'm pausing because when I was first going to report on this for the Griot, I was going to put in the headline, Dustin, Raphael Warnock is the first black senator elected from the American South since Reconstruction. But I was like, I can't be breaking news with that. Is that not right? And me and my producers were like, is he? No, he's not. That was Tim Scott.
But Tim Scott.
But I forgot about his ass.
Yeah.
But let me tell you how sad that is. No, I'm going to tell you why it's sad, Dustin. It's sad because I grew up in North Carolina. So Tim Scott and his office is down the street. To be the first black person, but the first black man, Dustin Ross, elected to the United States Senate after Reconstruction, is a huge honor and responsibility. And for Tim Scott to be so irrelevant, I'm trying to find the perfect word. I think the perfect word is irrelevant.
By definition,
irrelevant. Yeah. And I'm going to say that. And that's not just because he's a Republican. In fact, he's a Republican. You said it, and that's fair. And that's fine. I want to make space for that. So, Dustin, if because I did kind of step on it, Dustin said it is for me. And that's fair. That's a very common viewpoint. The fact that you are choosing to align yourself with a party that has made it its business to undermine everything that is about black legitimacy and liberation is a fair point. That on its face can make you illegitimate. I'm going to say I'm going to approach it different. I'm going to say because you are the only black Republican in the Senate, you actually could be the most powerful Republican senator in America if you so chose to play your cards right. He could be the Joe Manchin of the Republican Party. Here's why. Because you are the only brother, you actually could make the entire Republican Senate bow to your whim. If you sometimes, just a broken clock is right twice a day. Twice a day, Tim Scott could say, you know, I think I'm going to hold a line on this George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. I think as a black man who myself has had trouble getting into my own Senate office, because he tells this story all the time, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm a black man and I'm a United States Senator. They still pull me over. They card me.
You sound just like
him. You know, Negro, okay, then, well, act like it. Play your political card.
I see what you're saying.
There's a play there.
You're obviously choosing to ignore.
You know why? Because you, like a dumbass, and I'm not really one for name calling on this show, but I'm going to have to call him a dumbass, Dustin Ross, because like a dumbass, you still believe at your big age that if you go along to get along, that will be rewarded. It will never be rewarded, period, if a damn sure is not going to be rewarded within the Republican Party of America today. But also, Douglas already told y'all, it's in the book, y'all, Bet on Black, the good news about being black in America today. I open a chapter with the esteemed Frederick Douglass's quote, Dustin Ross, power concedes nothing without a demand.
Come on here.
It never did and it never will. Tim Scott, what is your demand? And because you have none, you have no power, thus you are irrelevant. So either way
completely.
You argue it,
we're on the same side of this conversation. I don't like Tim Scott. I don't even use Scott paper towels. I buy Bounty. is stronger.
You know who's looking like Bounty right now? Ashley. Looking like the Bounty man.
Shout out to super producer Ashley Ives. Our super producer Ashley.
Our super producer dripping in gold. Looking gilded.
And with the nails. You ain't even see them nails.
Let me see them nails, Ashley.
Look at, ooh.
Okay, gilded. Okay. I'm ready for the gilded age to come back to TV too, by the way. But whatever, ho. You know what I'm talking about.
Right, we knew what you were talking about. The paper towel guy.
Lumberjack, yeah. Shit. The strong one. The strong one.
Right.
Okay. Now back to Raphael Warnock. So Raphael Warnock thus is the second black man elected from the South to serve in the Senate since Reconstruction. Shout out to him. He won in a victory that was really too close for comfort. It should not have been that close, but, you know, America.
Shouldn't have been close at all.
Shouldn't have been close at all, but America. He ran against Herschel Walker, who is self-proclaimed not smart. Like, that's a quote from him. He literally said, "I'm not the smartest." Okay, sir. So anyway.
The one thing we all agreed with him on. Right.
Right. That was a bipartisan issue.
Yeah.
How smart you are.
Yes, it was.
Okay. That one passed resoundingly. Okay. Thank God the good Reverend beat Herschel Walker. So he will be a U.S. Senator returning now for a full term. 6-year term. Mm-hmm. Thank God. This poor brother has had 5 elections in the past few years. Shout out to Tenacity. Now, this was the most expensive election cycle of 2022. This just shows you how much money is in politics, Dustin. Almost $500 million, $425 million spent between these two campaigns just for one seat.
Damn.
One seat. Just think about that, y'all. Now, why is this election important? A couple things. Number one, for a few minutes, and it was really a few minutes, the Democrats had a real majority in the Senate. Meaning the first 2 years of Biden's term, it was a kind of an acting majority because it was 50 senators and 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats. Kamala Harris being VP became a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And she actually, y'all, let me tell you how real this is. Kamala Harris, I believe to my last count, had to break 26 ties.
I was going
to
say it's a large number.
It's
this
a
wasn't
large
like a,
number.
Like a
it wasn't like three.
Of,
no,
yeah.
It was like almost 30.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's a judicial appointment, whether that's another cabinet seat, whether that's a policy, that matters tremendously. It is because of that margin that Republicans are not able to totally ice out President Biden's judicial appointees, of which he's been very successful. Dustin, we have more black women, more black people, more brown people on federal benches than we ever had in American history, thanks to Joe Biden. And listen, I'm not even no Joe Biden stan.
No, but the facts are the facts.
But I'm going to give the credit has to be given where it's due. It has to. Just like we want to, you know, all these free thinkers and shit. Everybody want to be a contrarian. Everybody want to be so different. Be different with your facts, you know? So when somebody shows up in a posture that is advantageous to the political and economic benefit of black America, you better say that. And you know why? It's not to be on their ass. It is called, what do we do with children? Positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement.
When you positively reinforce someone's behavior, Dustin, it does a couple of things psychologically, but it does something practically. It incentivizes that same person to keep that same act right in hopes of more reward. So, Warnock has his 6 years. That's important. That's great. I said a few minutes of a majority because your friend, Kyrsten Sinema, your friend over there in Arizona, who always be acting real sometimey. I wish she'd pick a hair color.
Are you going to dye your roots or not?
Or not. Or just let it go, bitch. Like Frozen. Let it go. I don't like that. So anyway, she needs to actually read my first book, Pretty Powerful.
Pretty Powerful.
Appearance is Substance and Success. Also available on Amazon.
Thank you.
Because it matters what you look like in this world. And it certainly matters when you are a woman of esteemed power like a U.S. senator. She was a Democrat for her first few years in office. And she has, as of this week, decided that she will finally be more honest about herself and her politics.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right, because she was always an obstructionist. She was always looking for attention. She was always looking for an opportunity to make it about her specifically and run up and be in cahoots with Joe Manchin.
What's the other girl who was lying about being a Democrat? What's her name? Did she
run?
Tulsi.
Tulsi.
Lion ass. Another one.
Yeah, and
another
I think she left the party too, finally. Because I think she did as soon as she signed that Fox News contract. And that's not even really shade. I just know how it go down over there.
Thank you.
From firsthand experience.
You know what they doing over there.
I know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kirsten's ass is now officially a registered independent, which means that the Democrats are actually technically kind of back where they started.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. So now it's 50 Democrats, 49 Republicans, mm-hmm. and one independent.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Somebody always got to fuck things up. We can't mm-hmm. never just, people can never, ever, ever just focus on the greater good and zoom
mm-mm.
out.
Mm-mm.
Especially in cases
like this.
Yeah.
They're narcissists. It has to be about her. She needs to see her name in the headline. Same with Joe Manchin. But this is still important. We still need to celebrate and understand the value add of Raphael Warnock's win. Because had he not won, that actually changes the whole game, especially with this new shit Kirsten is pulling. Then the Democratic agenda would be in real peril, actually.
Yeah.
So it's still a great, great, it's actually a more important win now that she done pulled this fuck shit.
Mm-hmm.
So know that. Know that. So that's important. Let's see here. Anything else I want to say about the good Reverend? Shout out to Morehouse.
Right.
And I'm saying that in jest, but actually I'm saying it in real sincerity. Shout out to Alpha Phi Alpha.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Savannah. Shout out to Macon.
Mm-hmm.
These are the reasons why this great American patriot was successful.
Yep. And shout out to Stacey Abrams.
Shout out to Stacey
Abrams. For building
Abrams
that infrastructure.
And Fair Act.
Yep.
All that.
Yep.
It's just very important, y'all, that you understand in politics. Politics are not won on social media. And I know there's a lot of conversation about politics on social media. But when it comes to these votes, when you look at that map, if you paid attention, y'all, to that election night, that midterm election night, that map was red as a motherfucker.
Redder than Ashley's glasses.
Red as hell.
Ashley. But when I say the state was completely red.
Except for
those heavily populated areas of Atlanta.
It was Atlanta, it was Savannah,
mm-hmm.
it was Macon, and it was like one other, Ashley, you remember? It was like one other little,
mm-hmm.
little blue glimmer of democracy.
That brought it
home. That brought it home. And they were that way in a habitually, you hot, Dustin?
No, it's okay. I'm fine.
Okay. You having a hot flash.
No, I'm flash. I think I'm going through the change, okay? It's a lot of change going on over here.
It's giving design and women right now. It's giving design and women.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Woo!
Those little pockets matter, and those little pockets exist now in a way that they did not exist
mm-hmm.
in 2016,
mm-hmm.
in a way that they never existed since Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. old ass, in 92, mm-hmm. because of Stacey Abrams, black voters matter, all of the win with black women,
mm-hmm.
higher heights.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, these are organizations, these are grassroots people that are doing the work of retail politics.
Yes.
They're knocking on doors. They're walking the streets. They're getting black folks in Georgia out to vote because their votes matter.
They do, as you can see.
As we can see.
Yep.
So those organizations, Alpha, Morehouse, Spelman, that shit matters. Clark Atlanta.
Absolutely.
That is a movement. And that's what this whole episode, y'all, is about. It's not the silo of Brittany Griner being successfully negotiated to be brought home. That's important, but that's an individual issue. It's not just the reelection of Raphael Warnock. It's not just the issue we're about to get to in 2 seconds. You take the totality of that.
And what does it represent?
It's telling us something, mm-hmm. Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to pay attention. We've got to connect the dots. We've got to recognize a win on the scoreboard for the things that we've been waiting for. See, part of our problem when you start talking about these, you know, particular black voices that
yeah.
are very loud and very amplified, and that's a good thing. But they're kind of stuck on some talking points. They're
mm-hmm.
kind of stuck on, well, where's the Civil Rights Act? And, well, sir, was it passed in 64 and 68? So go ahead and look that up. You know, some of this is know your documents. You know, but you know what I
Please
mean?
Please don't get me started, because you know how I feel about uninformed opinions.
Yep.
You know how much that really just, we'll say, grinds my gears just mm-hmm. to keep things clean.
To keep it cute.
Just to keep
yeah.
it cute.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in a, I feel like I'm just drowning in a sea of uninformed opinions and voices that are offering their take on something so critically important to our existence as black people in America
yes.
at a time when it's so critically important for us all as much as we can be,
yes,
to be on the same page and, mm-hmm, and unify and use our voting power. Here
in
come
a collective
these motherfuckers,
way.
You know what I'm saying? And to tie it all in, mm-hmm, they've been extremely loud during this Brittney Griner case and,
yep,
extremely loud during her release, post-release. Mm-hmm. They were extremely loud during the Raphael Warnock versus,
oh, yes,
that bumbling Hersh- fool,
right,
moron, shoeshine and coon, Herschel Walker.
Whoop.
You know what I mean? And it's the same voices that are just contrarian for the sake of. I'm so glad you highlighted that.
That's
They're
it.
Being contrarian, but simply for the sake of.
Yeah, which is really said another way, Dustin. For attention.
For attention.
You want attention.
For
you,
attention.
You want to look smart. I want you to not be concerned with looking smart. I want you to be smart.
Because you look dumb.
Right.
That's the thing. You really look Herschel Walker is stupid.
Right, but
he's
at
literally
he says
a dumb man.
But at least
I don't
says
know
it.
What the. I don't know about that. I don't know what that is. I don't know. What was the erection? No, it was not the
well,
that one,
the
but
erection.
It was the one when he was talking about in the movie. You a vampire? What was he talking about
werewolf.
In the movie? You a werewolf or a vampire? The werewolf. The way that he was, it was fascinating, mm-hmm, to say the least, to watch somebody be that fucking stupid and get that dangerously close,
yes,
to holding a Senate seat and making decisions, mm-hmm, on behalf of a state full of fucking people.
Black, and a state full of black people, too. Black populace, you know, sometimes y'all forget, and I'm from the South. It's a lot of us in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Black people on any given day can make up between 20 to 40% of some of these southern states. I'm talking
Those
about Georgia,
numbers.
Alabama, and we're going to get to that in the next with South Carolina, almost 30% black.
Mm-hmm.
Big populace. We're talking about billions of dollars of black economics, millions of black children, children's educations, health care for black women who are giving birth to babies and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all better stop playing.
It's so ridiculous,
yeah,
and insulting that he was even a choice.
Yeah,
and how did he get there? Because there are people who knew what they were doing,
sure,
in their by offering their support and aid to him to move forward with that campaign. Y'all motherfuckers know that this nigga is an idiot.
Yeah, but a lot of them did that, Dustin, to spite the Democratic Party.
And that's so
very costly. Like don't let your nose, don't cut off your nose to
spite your face.
Listen, nobody in the broader national political conversation has been more critical of Democrats hardly than me. I haven't been a registered Democrat since I was in college at Chapel Hill. I've been a registered independent the whole time because I don't believe in default support, mm-hmm, just because the other is,
mm-hmm,
hellacious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm with that.
You're in supporting what's right and what is going to make the most sense.
I am for this, Dustin. It's very simple. I am for who is willing to come to the table,
mm-hmm,
and negotiate. This is the same way I was talking about on Housewives. It,
mm-hmm,
is no different, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing to negotiate in a way that serves my best interest and my people's best interest, we can always have a conversation.
Yep.
I don't give a motherfuck what letter is behind your,
mm-hmm,
candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that 99.9% of the time, most people with the R on the back of their candidacy are wholly unwilling to negotiate because they would, even when the value alignment is more so there, because they are so tethered to the anti-black bigotry that undermines the most potent part of their base.
I keep finding myself in these situations as I get older where things that just, you know, make sense to me, things,
mm-hmm,
that don't require someone to say them out loud for them to connect for people, right?
Right.
Because the fact that people think that black people just blindly throw their support, black people who vote, let's put it there.
Because if you don't,
okay,
vote, you actually don't even matter.
Black people who vote,
yeah,
the fact that people, there's an assumption that black people who vote just blindly throw their support behind the Democratic ticket,
mm-hmm,
is ridiculous to, mm-hmm, me. You look at, let's just make it as
simple
as we
make
can.
It simple,
you look at what a candidate has to say.
Yep.
You look at what your needs are.
Yep.
And you vote in alignment with that.
Yes.
Historically and typically, that has been, as far as black voters are concerned, those things have been addressed on the Democratic side of the ticket. So
only,
that's how we have
that's
voted.
The thing, only. And no, but I want to stop because people are going to even, what you just said, well, they don't do enough. No, but you didn't say that they wholly satisfy the needs of black Americans, Dustin. You didn't say that they perfectly show up in full alignment of things that are going to advance black liberation. You said of the choice that
we have.
That we have. Y'all want to be so damn smart. Okay, so to that point, let's talk about optics. That's also, that's chapter two of this book.
And what,
Bet on Black, Bet on Black, the good news about being black in America. I talk about the power of
optics. Y'all better get you one of these.
Yeah, go ahead and get it right now. It's on Amazon right now. Don't wait.
It's a Bet on Black.
Don't wait. It's going to be sold out. You're going to be mad.
Okay.
Okay, so I talk about the optics. Let's talk about the optics. Let me tell you what I would do if I was Joe Biden right now, especially coming off the heels of all of this, the release of Brittany Griner, the re-election of Raphael Warnock, and my party's decision. We'll talk about this when we come back after the break. This is a historic move.
This is
there
so
important.
There has
not been a move. Y'all know when the Democratic presidential season starts, it always starts where? In coal-ass, white-ass Iowa. Population white, 90%. Population black, 4%.
On a good week.
On a good week. It starts there.
Because so, if you take that census during the Essence Fest weekend, the three black people in Iowa are going to be in New Orleans. So, you know, yeah.
They're going to be on bourbon.
Okay.
Listen, that's facts. So, that sets the tone. We know first impressions are telling. They shape elections. They shape elections. Hillary Clinton, honestly, probably would have been the Democratic nominee for president circa 2008. If this shit started somewhere else, for better or worse, right? I was not a Hillary person, but Barack's ass lucked up because if you remember, see, y'all don't know, a lot of y'all, no shade, a lot of y'all just started following this shit around 2010, 2012. So y'all don't know, and that's good.
And it's by following, we mean watching 5 minutes of CNN coverage. Because you motherfuckers still don't know what you're talking
about.
And y'all
still ain't reading half of
it. But anyway.
But anyway, that's okay. And that's a good thing because it's never too late to do the right thing. So I'm glad that there's more political black engagement now than ever before.
Yeah.
And more conversations amongst black folks around political engagement. But as somebody who has studied this, Dustin, since I was a child, as someone who this is my business.
Yes.
My business. I was a political analyst before I did anything else in the space. I studied political science. I know government inside and out. I am a trained attorney. Don't play with me on this shit. So what I know is this. In the beginning of that election for Barack Obama's candidacy, most black folks, including the Congressional Black Caucus, were not for Barack Obama.
They were not.
Okay? They were not. John, Jim Clyburn and them, Karen Bass and them. Well, I don't know about Karen, but I can't speak on Karen. Maxine Waters, okay, some of the elders in the party were for Mrs. Clinton. Why? I understand their reasoning, because they have a relationship with Bill Clinton. And that's where they were. So it was but for the surprise upset of Obama winning the Iowa caucus that he became a then all of a sudden, and it was a good thing for him, all of a sudden, black Americans say, well, this Negro can win. We might need to look at his ass again. So I'm showing you the power, not, you know, not, don't take a tit for tat. Well, Ebony's saying that it's good for black folks to be in Iowa. No, I'm not saying that. I am saying that Iowa is, it was disproportionately powerful for who ends up being on that presidential ticket. Fast forward to today. Joe Biden and the Democrats under his leadership are saying we recognize that disproportionate power that puts too many white people in a position to decide too high of stakes for the broader election, and we're going to move it. We're saying that at this time, at the very least, we owe the black American electorate, the black folks that show up and vote for us, that Joe Biden himself said resurrected his, where was his campaign resurrected, brought back from the dead? Because his ass was getting toe up in that primary. Let's be clear. Let's be very clear. People was interested in Kamala. People was interested in Elizabeth Warren. People were interested in,
the one that, damn, it's on the
Pete.
Yes, Pete.
Yeah, Mayor Pete.
Yep.
So it was a lot of other people were writing Joe Biden out. They were saying he was a dinosaur and couldn't even stay awake. That was the narrative around Joe Biden. Up and until when? South Carolina. And the legendary Jim Clyburn said, not on my watch. The stakes are too high. We need a trusted leader who can get the shit done. And he's almost single-handedly and that state responsible for bringing this man to the presidency. And Biden knows it. So what is that reward? See, this is important, y'all.
This is how politics
works. And it's actually, it's actually a good surprise in one way, because ideally, Dustin, a negotiation is handled on the front end. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in American politics, because of the nature of the electorate, you kind of have to do the action on the front mm-hmm. end by showing up to put someone in mm-hmm. office and offering your vote and support, and really kind of hope and pray
that you get it on the back end.
That's how it is. And what Biden is doing right now is he's actually showing the fuck up on the back end. Mm-hmm. And too many of y'all at home want to talk more shit because you want to look so fucking smart and special and unique and free, and you fucking up your own liberation.
And if you really want to be honest about it, this is another thing to be put on the list. When you really look at what has taken place and been accomplished post-Trump in this Biden era, there's a lot of work that has actually been done. And when people actually itemize these things that have taken place, you'd be surprised at how much progress has actually been made. Mm-hmm. This is another thing of note that is going to go over most people's heads because they're not politically savvy, which that's just the reality, good, bad, or whatever. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. People aren't going to recognize the importance of this and what it means. So I'm really glad that we're spending some time talking about this.
Very much
so. At least our audience will know what's up and why this is important and a good thing.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic thing. And this is the thing, y'all. And tell your friends to listen to Holding Court, not just because
at least it's good this damn for us. Episode.
Yeah, but it really does give you a center point. We really love y'all for tagging Dustin and myself mm-hmm. in the comments when these things come to pass. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of people. Remember our first episode? What did we talk about this season? We opened the episode, Dustin, talking about don't spend that mm-hmm. that expected mm-hmm. refund yet mm-hmm. because that shit might get held up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I don't know if you saw it, but I got a lot of smoke for that. Mm-hmm. Why are you saying that? PPP wasn't held up. Why are you being negative? Bitch, I'm not being negative.
Right.
I want everybody to get their money, Dustin. Right. I don't want to pay back these fucking loans myself.
Right.
But I also know the law. And I understand how politics work.
And look what happened.
And unfortunately, y'all, I don't talk about what I want to happen mm-hmm. on this show. Dustin and I don't give our hopeful opinions.
No.
We talk about what the facts lead us to conclude.
Yep.
And unfortunately, President Biden did not have a congressional and Senate majority that could properly pass mm-hmm. a true student debt relief plan. Mm-hmm.
So?
Therefore, he did the only thing he could do,
yep.
which was sign an executive order. I understand it. But I told y'all that we would be where we are today with it, held up in courts, probably going to a Supreme Court decision. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that listen to Holding Court, mm-hmm. you were prepared.
Yep.
You were prepared.
And able to watch that. Your experience watching all this go down is quite different mm-hmm. when you understand what's going on.
And you can anticipate it. And you can practically, Dustin Ross, move different, move accordingly.
Yep.
Move accordingly. You're not blindsided.
Yep.
People were mad at Biden. People were like, what the fuck? I depended on this. You told me that it was going to be forgiven. But we'd already told you how to move accordingly if you listen to the show. Now, back to this. Oh, optics. That's what I was going to get to. If I was Biden and all this shit was running down the playboard right now this time of year, go in and get the photo op. Mm-hmm. Go on and get it because it matters. Mm-hmm. And you've done the work for this one. Mm-hmm. Go, you know, we've already seen those initial photos, rather, Dustin, of Kamala Harris with Britney's wife mm-hmm. in the White mm-hmm. House. Mm-hmm. Britney, bring your ass on up here. So mm-hmm. you get here and get your fade right.
Get your hair cut.
Yeah. Then go ahead and Marsha Fudge, Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Marsha, what's your ass doing? Come on up here. Yep. Come on up here to the White House. People don't know this. Our UN ambassador for the United States of America is a black woman.
Ambassador
Greenridge is her name. Yeah, she's from Baker, Louisiana. Shout out to Baker. I was actually Miss Baker Buffalo Festival.
Oh, Ebony.
Circa 2006. I was the first black woman to be Miss Baker. Anyway.
that's right.
Ambassador Greenfield, bring your ass up mm-hmm. here. Keisha, mm-hmm. Keisha Lance Bottoms, mm-hmm. senior mm-hmm. advisor to the Biden White House. Mm-hmm. You see the optics? Mm-hmm. Bring your motherfucking Cedric Richmond. Your black ass ain't doing nothing right now. Probably in the streets. Cedric, bring your ass up here.
And the thing is, yes, the optics, and yes, there's a benefit from that, but people need to see that.
But they need to see it. And they need optics, to see that. Optics has a bad connotation mm-hmm. because people read into that like that you are only doing. No, you need to physically mm-hmm. present. You need to. You can always, my mama say, show them better than you can tell them.
That's right. So always.
So when you put it in front of, you can no longer hold a narrative. Kentanji.
Mm-hmm. Get your ass off that bench and come on up here. Yep.
Y'all on break. Come
mm-hmm,
on.
Mm-hmm. You sick of them other justices anyway.
Anyway, I know you can't stand Clarence's breath.
I know come you want a break,
here.
Girl.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you see that it'll be looking like Miss mm-hmm. Sophia home for real when they were sitting on that porch.
Well, she is, technically. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Sat in that jail and damn near rot to death, and just like Sophia said.
Yeah, but people need to really look at that holistically, y'all. We're jesting, but we're also serious. Look at the list we just ran down. You tell me another administration that can look the same. And it's not just the looks of these people as just being black people. Marsha Fudge is the housing and urban development chief.
Mm-hmm.
This makes a difference when we're talking about a housing crisis in mm-hmm. America, Dustin. Mm-hmm. The rent is too damn high.
Mm-hmm.
This is a black woman able to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
UN ambassador, her background, Ambassador Greenridge's background is in Africa-US relations.
Mm-hmm.
For some of us, they might want to look and see what that passport situation mm-hmm, looking like mm-hmm. if the block get too hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Something to think about.
Something to think about.
And something to know.
Senior advisor to the president right now, Keisha Lance Bottoms.
Yep.
His advisor is a black woman named Keisha.
Mm-hmm.
How does her have it? You can't tell me that lineup does not impact Britney being home right now.
Absolutely.
And people are talking a lot of shit about Kamala Harris. And, you know, some of that smoke is warranted. But I know for firsthand, I've got my sources too, Kamala was instrumental
in
bringing
that.
Britney mm-hmm. home. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I just hope that, you know, as we approach the next election, I mm-hmm. hope that these things that we've talked about in this conversation are highlighted and presented as much as they possibly can.
I concur.
So that as many people know that this is the work that's been done. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
And here's the good news. This is the work that's being done, and clap, clap, and good. And we talked about mm-hmm. giving credit where credit due and recognizing a couple wins on the scoreboard. But this is a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of innings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2024, that's halftime. Mm-hmm. That's how we as black people need to look at it. It's halftime.
Mm-hmm.
If we do what we need to do and we negotiate our cards right, Dustin Ross, I got a whole list. We positively reinforce this president. We double down on our support of this president. And we over-deliver him some Democratic congressional seats. We over-deliver Democratic Senate seats. We hold on to it and increase the margin. We can run the table. Y'all like spades, right? Run the table. And everything that we didn't get this first term, Floyd Justice yep. and Police Act, reparations, which we're going to talk about in the next episode,
mm-hmm.
it's on the table. Hold on. Let me pull up my list. I got a whole bunch of shit for his ass.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got a couple other things. Oh, housing down payments and special interest rates for black Americans. Let's do it. Why not? See, the conversation looks totally different when we have the momentum.
Yeah.
When we have the leverage.
And we can get it done.
When we have a president that has finally understood what a lot of Democrats, including Joe Biden, were too slow to understand. Mm-hmm. Stop worrying about those lost voters in middle white America. They're not coming back to you,
mm-hmm.
Democrats. Joe the plumber is not coming back to the party. He's a Republican
all.
Now.
Yep.
Okay? Let him go.
Yeah.
Let it go. And focus on who's right here at the table already consistently with you. 98% turnout from black women. 95% turnout from black men. That's what we're seeing. That's why Britney's home. That's actually why South Carolina is going to be first on deck to bat for the presidency. Y'all better look up. Y'all better look up.
Before it's too late.
You better recognize when we finally have a little bit of momentum going mm-hmm. our way, double down on that shit, go back to Douglas.
Yep.
Increase our demand list.
Yep.
And run the fucking board.
Yep.
All right, you got me all hot and bothered.
I love it when you get like this, Ebony. Pop your shit. Pop your political shit. Okay?
You know, I used to do this for a living, y'all. Mm-hmm. Shit. Y'all over there talking, all these fucking, everybody is a fucking geopolitical expert and shit now. Y'all funny. Y'all funny.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden. Okay, let me tell you. Is there anything else?
And another motherfucker.
I love it. Oh, actually, this is worth saying just to double down on everything that we've been talking about. South Carolina is going to be the first one in this new plan from the Democrats. Who's up next to bat? They're going to keep it with Nevada. Then they're going south again. Georgia and Michigan.
Yes.
Georgia, Dustin, can you believe this? Dustin, you're from Michigan. Michigan and Georgia are battleground states.
Yeah.
Georgia?
Yeah. Georgia.
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 Red-ass Georgia.
Red-ass Georgia.
Even the dirt is red in Georgia.
Literally, that clay-ass red dirt that some people eat. Not us, though.
Not us.
Not us. That's why we smart.
They had to tell me about that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what you mean they eating dirt?
That's a dirt pie. They're actually going to be up to bat. They have been moved up on the calendar to decide the presidency, and it matters, y'all. So if you can't recognize the movement that is responding to how we are moving as a black electorate that best puts us in position. And that's how I always frame it. I never say Biden gonna give us this and the Dems gonna give us that.
Mm-hmm.
I say puts us in best position to maximize our demand and double down on it. And see, then when they start slipping, if and when they get too comfortable, that's when we can negotiate and move differently.
Yep.
And primary they ask.
Yep. Yeah, and it all starts with decisions like this. So welcome, South Carolina.
Welcome, South Carolina. Welcome, Palmetto State.
And y'all 30%.
Shout out to Benedict College, where I gave a commencement last year.
Shout out to Benedict, yes.
Gave me my honorary doctorate.
That's right.
Y'all better know I'm a double doctor and stop fucking playing with
her. Stop playing with her.
TJ Holmes. Okay.
Ah.
Now, I'm going to tell you why we're covering this story. At first, I was going to skip it, actually. And some jurors, y'all were in my DMs. Auntie E, please cover TJ specifically whether or not workplace relationships can get you in legal trouble or other administrative issues. Dustin, excuse me. At first, this looked like this was going to be a nothing sandwich. Like, okay, fine. People have affairs at work. He apparently is in a relationship with his co-anchor, Amy Robach. They both work at Good Morning America. They host GMA3. I have been on the program before. I know TJ casually. And here's what I mean by that. I've never in my life had a conversation with TJ Holmes that was not on air, essentially. One or two phone calls here or there, but again, around the context of work, generally speaking. I know TJ to be, you know, a fine brother, good dude, been around the industry a very long time. For those of you who are unfamiliar with TJ, TJ used to be a very big deal at CNN.
Yes, he did.
Before Don Lemon was their guy, it was TJ Holmes. TJ used to anchor on the weekends. Understandably, you know, those of us in the news industry, as black folk call that, the Negro shift.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the Chitlin circle of news.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's where they like to stick us. Everybody that y'all know in news has probably been there.
Mm-hmm.
From Soledad to Joanne Reed to Chanel. Shout out to Sora Chanel over at NBC on Today Show now. Tamara. Everybody at some point has done their time on the weekend Chitlin circuit slot, including yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I feel TJ. Fuck all that. I'm better than that. I deserve more than that. So TJ left CNN. Had a show with BET.
I remember.
BET plucked him, gave him like $1 million deal. It was a big headline, and he was going to be hosting, and he did host Don't Sleep, I think was the name of it. It was a late night show, kind of like a variety, kind of comedy talk, whatever. Didn't go so well. Fine. These things happen. Contract ended early. I think TJ asked to be let out. And then he spent some years kind of finding out the next move. I'm giving y'all this context for a reason. I'm trying to lay a foundation for the stakes. I will tell you this as somebody who has worked in network news. Once you've been around these spaces, Dustin, you realize that as a black American, to get a gig and consistently be able to hold on to a gig there, you're in rare air.
Yes.
Put it this way. We can almost name.
Yes.
If we sat here long enough, we could probably name every black person that hold anchor or correspondent roles on those networks.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ, after some years of overnight, I mean, he literally was, you know, and that's the industry, y'all.
That's how it goes.
It don't matter what your name is, how big you used to be, what you used to do, you are only as good as your last segment, period. So TJ, you know, after the BET thing didn't work out too well, you know, he did some overnights. It was weekends, and he brought himself back, as he should have done. Not easy, by the way. So he gets to be celebrated for that, or at least acknowledged. Brought himself back to life in news. First as a correspondent at ABC News, again, doing weekends, doing, you know, segment here, segment there. Then pandemic hit. ABC News rather decided to launch this new show, GMA3. Mm-hmm. Originally it was with Kiki.
Yep. Michael Strahan
and Sarah Haynes. You know, it just never found its way. Mm-hmm. ABC News smartly retooled it during the pandemic and made it more of a news show with Amy Robach and Dr. Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, you know, it's really nice to round it out. Hence, TJ finally, after some years, getting a full-time anchor position at Network News,
which is the
Holy Grail.
Yeah.
That's what I'm laying. This is what I'm walking y'all through this for. That is the Holy Grail. ABC News is not a cable news network.
Mm-mm.
Shout out to those. That's MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. Those are the big three cables. It is network news. It's a higher level. It's a different level. It's a different bag. Okay? There's only three. NBC News, CBS News, ABC News.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who's the president of ABC News? Her name is Kim Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first black woman to be the president of a network news channel.
Yep, I remember when she got that appointment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's a real good woman. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Who else is?
Oh, Ski Wee.
Okay. Uh-huh. The one who wrote Bet on
the
Black.
The one who wrote Bet on Black, which you're going to get on Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she's also a Rattler, Kim Godwin. Mm-hmm. She's a proud graduate of FAMU. I'm just laying this out to say Kim Godwin is a revered individual in the space, not just amongst the culture, broadly. I feel that TJ, and the only reason I'm not talking about Amy is because this is a black show.
Right.
Amy Robach is a white woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let main pop culture deal with her. Now, TJ, I feel like TJ's playing in Kim's face, Kim Godwin's face. And this is what I mean by that. First of all, I don't know how old I was taught. You don't shit where you work. Period. 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 Number two, TJ, you're still a black man in America, sitting up here arrogantly, more or less parading this, at least to the culture's understanding at this point, scandalous relationship, adulterous relationship with this white American woman. TJ has three children, I believe all of whom, I know the youngest is around 13 or something. I think he's got two. I know he has two others with his first wife. I don't believe any of the children are out of college. So I'm saying that to say you've probably got three mouths to feed, so to speak. It's being investigated, which is why we're talking about it here on Holding Court, after Kim originally, I believe Kim really wanted to keep this non-distracting and quiet for the sake of ABC News. So after it came out in Daily Mail and everything was all on the blogosphere, Dustin, and it looked like it was just mess. But then it got deeper than that, because then it started to come out, Dustin, that it wasn't just Amy, because that's an anchor-to-anchor relationship between two consenting adults. Whether or not they cheated on their spouses remains to be seen. It's being reported now that both of them left their spouses over the summer in August, thus it might not even be an affair. While that's relevant is because every news organization, just like most of y'all companies listening, have a moral clause.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a moral issue, that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But Kim Godwin said, Dustin, because if you remember what happened, the news broke. They actually anchored one show together after it became a story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting up there laughing and kikiing, and to me, playing in Kim Godwin's face. That's my opinion on that. That's my perspective on that. No level of accountability, no level. And I'm not saying you need to be ashamed and have your foot in your mouth, but, oh, how was your week? Oh, it was cute, huh? Yeah, I can't wait for the weekend. Ooh, it was a lot going on this week. You're fucking playing, okay?
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have looked at her ass.
No, read the copy, motherfucker.
Okay.
Read the copy.
Today at 6:35.
That's it.
Okay, I would have been straight focused. Like,
read
she's
the copy,
not even here.
Read the prompter, interview your guest, and get your ass on somewhere. But no, you didn't do that. You wanted to be cute and you wanted to play. So, Kim Godwin called an editorial meeting, which is normal. This wasn't out of the ordinary. This is standard news procedure. She had her editorial call with her team the next business day, because I think mm-hmm. that was a Monday. Mm-hmm. She said, we're going to go ahead and pull TJ and Amy for the time being as we just take a look at it. She also said this, Dustin. She said, at this time, we don't believe any policy was broken.
Okay.
But we just want to look at it. And we also feel this has become a distraction, which it was. And so that's why they were being pulled. Since that time, because what's done in the dark always comes to the light, it's been reported that TJ has had many other affairs at the network, some with producers, some with unnamed individuals. So from the legal and the administrative part of this, Dustin, anchor to anchor is one thing. You might have a moral issue, but you shouldn't have an HR issue because that is considered a professional peer.
It's like lateral fucking.
It's a lateral fuck.
Yeah.
I think we might have just coined that. I like
lateral
that. Lateral
fuck.
Lateral fuck. But when you start fucking down,
mm-hmm.
it's called a subordinate fuck.
A subordinate fucking. That's not what you want to be in.
You
don't
want to
be insubordinately fucking.
Listen, now okay. You're in a Matt, because you're in a Matt Lauer situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's quite be very clear, quite literally.
Yeah.
And that could be the situation with the one named producer. I'm not going to name these women because, you know, that does no good.
We talking about TJ.
We talking about TJ. And then there's allegedly another woman that they are saying is even more subordinate. A lower fuck. I'm just kidding. yeah, so listen, I expect TJ won't be back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you really why I think he won't be back. Number one, and I think Amy will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. Of course she's white. That's a part of it, but that's just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amy will be back for two reasons. Number one, she's white. Number two, she had higher currency at the network. If you don't really follow ABC and GMA, Amy was already being groomed,
mm-hmm.
being shaped, being molded to be the heir apparent to Robin
mm-hmm.
Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amy Robach makes a bag. Mm-hmm. ABC News is deeply invested in Amy Robach and her success and her career. This will be a demerit. They'll ding her. She'll probably be reduced to some fucked up assignments for a while. But Amy will be back. They're already too deep in the bag with her. They're too deep in the investment process with her. TJ, sir, your ass kind of just got there, okay? What I mean by that is, TJ, you literally are not even two full complete years in as a full-time anchor.
No, chair ain't even warm yet.
That's why, as of a few days ago, it's already being reported that the good brother, DeMarco Morgan,
yes,
will be taking you are the definition, TJ, of replaceable.
Yeah. And that's a sad reality, but it's the truth.
Is it sad? I'm going to tell you why it's not that sad to me. I think it's sad if like an exceptional black journalist was deemed irreplaceable. You saw what I did?
Okay, so that's not what's going on here, High Ebony. That's not what's
going on. Listen, I liked it. You know, people are like, damn, that's fucked up. I like TJ as a person.
But
I'm just telling
about
you from
value.
A journalist
yeah.
standpoint.
Yeah,
you're not. You're just not. You're not. You're not. You are in front of literally like 6 to 10 million people when you're in network. So it's not. It's the money, Dustin, but it's the reach.
It's the reach, which is why people in those seats hold so much value in our own homes. You know, that's like another family member.
That's
you
like
watch
a family
them every
member.
Damn day. You know what I mean? There's a connection there, and that's yes. why they are paid so handsomely.
That's it.
When you're responsible for delivering information to that many people, not only are you just in front of them, right, which is a big enough deal anyway.
You're shaping their lives.
You're shaping their lives.
They're starting their day with you. They're understanding if they need to get a booster. They're understanding if they can expect to get a
they
refund
have to
from the
trust
government.
You.
Yes.
They have to trust you,
trust
which is
you.
Why this, which is why... You being messy in
yes.
your sexual life
yep.
is relevant to this conversation and relevant to your employment.
You being messy in your personal life and then coming on TV the next day still playing.
Yeah.
Listen, I make space for people fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I heard. I'm just playing. People
so
fall
we're
in
told.
Love. So reports say.
Right.
People do. Real talk, though. People fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I make space for that. And it's actually hard to mm-hmm. find somebody to really, really fall in love with. So maybe you fell in love, TJ, and that's okay. I guess. I get. I'm just gonna let's play it
okay.
out. Let's play it
okay.
out for me.
Okay.
Maybe you really fucked around and you fell in love with this woman that you see and work with every day. There's still a process, Dustin, that better protects your wife, who is a beautiful, brilliant attorney who I've, you know, philanthropically had wonderful dealings
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm.
She's a wonderful pillar of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Your three children and the rest of your family and culture and your own self, honestly. There's a way in which you can protect your own reputation in a better way. So it is the sloppiness and then the sitting up there the next day trying to be fucking cute that I really don't appreciate. And again, it might be different. I mean, to me, this is no different than like R. Kelly or Chris Brown or Michael Jackson or, you know, any number of, you know, people. And we have the cancel conversation.
Right.
Your ability to, let's just say, go outside the bounds of decency, we'll frame it that way,
mm-hmm.
is exactly proportionate with your skill set. Okay? Break that down how you want to. But when the performance is exceptional, you get more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
When the performance is mediocre, when what you do, anybody can do, Dustin Ross.
Then the conversation becomes, well, let his ass go, because we didn't have to deal with him in the first damn place.
Listen, do you think that show is going to look any different with DeMarco? It's not. Mm-mm. If anything, one could argue DeMarco
better.
Brings a, listen,
youthful,
different,
like, yeah.
a different voice, mm-hmm. something that, the you know, more or less we haven't been hearing for the last 10 years on and off.
And people are just as excited about watching him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the TJ Holmes of it all. Now, I think TJ was messy and played too goddamn much.
Yeah.
And that's what I think about TJ anyway. I thought that
before this came out.
If you go back and look, there's an interview of me and TJ on The Housewives. This Negro's laid the hay up. Negro, you right. at work. Sit your motherfucking
okay.
ass up. Playing and shit.
So,
anyway,
I mean, that's the problem. I was trying to lay up somewhere and now look what happened.
Right.
But I just... I am glad, though, that there are no gross allegations of misconduct in that way.
Yes,
I'm
we're
happy
not, no
about
one's
that.
Saying TJ's
yeah.
a threat. TJ's not a predator.
No.
He's not. TJ's not a,
he's just
an
being
abuser.
Dumb.
He just play too goddamn much,
mm-hmm.
like so many of us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this. this is me really just going off the deep end
Come
and theorizing.
On,
one could argue that the play was, if you really, Amy got the bag. So, since Amy got the bag, and I think Amy's going to keep her bag long term, it's already being reported that she's on her way back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to work if you're TJ?
No wonder he was sly. I seen her.
I'm just saying.
I know.
It's a new day, Dustin. It's a new
back
day.
Uh-huh. When she was putting that bag in the trunk.
He was slapping her ass.
Well, yeah. I thought it was her back. I didn't know what it was because it was like
oh,
it was like
you,
this,
you know what?
And so I seen
you
his hand.
What?
It wasn't a slap. It was like a high five almost.
Shut the fuck up.
Because it was flat surface against flat surface. Like
we got it. We got it.
And it slid.
We got the.
And she's in that car. I was just surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's a
that's six, what you thought.
That's about a $6 plus million situation.
Well,
so.
I guess I'd have been sliding too.
Listen.
Slide to the left, huh, Ebony?
Crisscross.
Okay.
Shit. Everybody clap their hands. All right, y'all, we gonna go. That's it. We did way too much today. Y'all, thank you so much for joining Holder Court.
Mm-hmm.
Join us in two. We got 2 weeks of break.
Yep, 2 weeks of break, and we'll
then,
see y'all
and
right
then
we'll back
come
around.
On, right on back on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see y'all in 2023.
Happy
we love
holidays.
Dustin,
love
what
y'all.
You want the people to do over the break?
Read your terms and conditions
closely,
and don't fuck nobody at work.
Yeah, definitely not.
So that's that.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to Operations Lead Sarah Yu, Business Development Lead Sheffy Ellen Swag, and Marketing Lead Samira Still.